Senator Durbin joins us. You in Washington or you're here?
I'm in Washington.
And I can imagine that there are very intense conversations going on about what's happening on the other side of the world. What's the Senate's role in this?
Well, there are several things that we're looking at. You know, Steve, let's step back and say, what is the obligation of our government? First, keep America safe.
Right.
That is the first and greatest obligation and one that we have to honor. Second, to make certain that what we do is consistent with American values, who we are, the role we played in this world. And that sometimes means that we have to step back and put in perspective what we're facing here. What can we do to make certain that the tragedy that happened in Paris doesn't happen in America? Well, we have to redouble our efforts when it comes to intelligence. And that clearly is going to be a challenge. What we've learned in the last few days is that the ISIS perpetrators in Paris, France, were protecting their communications from surveillance with encryption. And what the intelligence agencies are telling us, we need to give new authority to our government to make sure that we can cooperate with private vendors and others and break that encryption so that we know what these terrorists are saying to one another. That is the first line of defense, and it shouldn't be overlooked with all the conversations about all the other things. Secondly, what we had happen yesterday, late yesterday, I think may be, in an odd way, a step in the right direction. The Russians acknowledged that there was a bomb that was responsible
right.
for the downing of their aircraft. They had been in denial, or at least quiet about that, until this moment. What I see is an opportunity here. Because of what happened with our friend and ally, France, and because of the involvement in NATO with the migration of these refugees, I see the possibility of a coalition against ISIS that includes NATO and the United States, Russia, perhaps our allies in the Gulf, that we really try to eliminate in a coordinated fashion this base for ISIS operations in Syria and Iraq. That's not the end of ISIS. But to destroy them is to really strike a blow at their credibility that they're somehow going to become a caliphate taking over the world.
Yeah, nobody wants a return to war. Nobody. And nobody in their right mind would want to be sitting in Barack Obama's seat to have to figure out which option we're going to take here. But it's clear that if we partner, say, with Russia on this, it doesn't mean we agree with Russia's overall plan. It's just time for the world to step up as one and say enough of this nonsense.
And the president put this coalition together, incidentally, when it came to the nuclear weapons in Iran. When you looked at those who gathered at the table, you had France and Germany, the United Kingdom, the European Union, Russia, and China, and the United States. So it can happen. This seems like an opportune moment. ISIS is not just a threat to France or the United States. It's a threat to the civilized world. And I think that we need to call on Muslim nations as well.
Absolutely.
And say to them, step up. If you believe this is a corruption of your faith, if you believe that these extremists need to be stopped in the name of whatever your religion may be, then demonstrate it. Be part of our coalition to stop the spread of ISIS.
Well, without a doubt. Are you getting any pushback on that view from others in Senate by way of, well, if we start allowing the government to look into WhatsApp, which has been mentioned as one of the encrypted ways that these terrorists can communicate, then what's next? In other words, those that feel that we can't do that, we can't look into people's business, because it seems to me we all want the same thing. We want to be safe, but we don't want anybody to touch our stuff, and it's time to grow up about this.
That is privacy and security, you know, are two competing factors when you're dealing with national defense. And I am always trying to be mindful of the fact that we need to respect privacy. But in this situation, if these terrorists and would-be terrorists have found a way to evade surveillance, if a warrant that is issued by a court is of no value because of encryption, then we've got to create a new tool here for our government to go after the suspects. It's the only way. You know, how can we so quickly connect the dots on many of these terrorists? It's because we can go through records, phone records and other communications, and find out their circle of friends, the people they communicate with, and track them down as well. Encryption stops that from happening. We have to find a way to give our government the tools to really discover this web of intrigue and attack on America.
In the midst of a presidential election, is there going to be pushback on this on any level? Because this seems to be one thing that the House Republicans could readily agree on.
Well, I would think it's a good bipartisan issue. And there will be those, who, as you just said and I've said, who want to say, let's step back and make sure the government doesn't go too far. I'm for that conversation. That's what you do in a democracy, is you have that conversation. But the ultimate goal is to give our government the tools to keep America safe, to avoid what happened in Paris and what happened in other places around the world.
So, timeline being what it is, how fast can Congress move forward on both of these lines, the encryption line and the coalition line, if the president goes in that direction?
Well, I think we can move quickly, and we should. I believe that the French people, through President Hollande and others, have stepped up and said, this is an act of war, and we are calling on our friends and allies to help us and stand with us. So I think that really gives us that opportunity. The president's reaching out to Vladimir Putin. We are always in a friendly position with him, and we have a chance to reach out to other countries. Now, keep in mind, I think let's not overreact in this regard. If we eliminated the ISIS control of parts of Syria and Iraq, they are still a danger. There's no question about it.
Right.
But it would strike a blow to this notion that they are invincible and they can strike in every direction. And that, to me, should be the starting point. Not the end, but the starting point.
Yeah, and I guess I'd let you go on this. The last thing I'd say, too, is for those who are concerned, well, if we go in again or we go in now, we create more propaganda for a next generation of kids coming up to hate America because we're attacking them. The fact is that propaganda machine is already rolling, and we have to take action. We have to take action. We have to move.
And the United Nations has, through the Security Council, agreed that the elimination of ISIS is a goal of civilized nations around the world.
Right.
It isn't just the Americans or the French coming up with this idea. This is inspired by the United Nations. George Herbert Walker Bush, before we went into Kuwait, had United Nations approval and an international coalition. That was the difference between our Kuwait invasion and what happened with Iraq and Afghanistan. So I think we can build on that and show, as I said, that even peace-loving Muslim nations will come forward and support us.
We don't need all the credit, but we certainly don't want all the blame. So let's do this together.
Thank you,
Senator. Appreciate it.
Okay, Steve. Thank you.